you like this song, Megan?
I don't know why you're playing this song.
I just wanted to set the mood. I'm gonna turn it up a little bit. I feel like you're not listening.
I listen to everything you say.
It's a romance. All right. Well,
it's not too late for us. It's not too late for us to go sing karaoke.
I was trying to like fade the music out, and you could hear my laptop like. Well, so much for that.
We're classic from the beginning to the end.
Welcome to After the Rose podcast. I'm Molly Leitch.
And I'm Megan Cruz.
And we talk about all things The Bachelorette. We're talking about like 15 episodes of Bachelor in Paradise.
We are your least likely Bachelor Nation correspondents, and yet some of the most dedicated. We are here talking about Bachelor in Paradise, and this is our second episode on season two of Bachelor in Paradise. But I feel like this is really, we are keeping pace as best as possible. We're like at the factory. It's like the I Love Lucy skit where like things start coming off the conveyor belt, you know? Like there's so much.
Oh, and it's just God. Like all it, of it these piles
things,
up.
Yeah, all these things coming off the conveyor belt, and I'm like trying to toss them to you and piling them up. And we have to condense. There are 2 hours on Sunday, 1 hour on Monday, plus 1 hour of After Paradise on Monday.
I think we're literally talking about 6 episodes today.
3 weeks. Weeks 3, 4, and 5, uh-huh. Which is six. No.
It's 6 episodes, right?
Yeah, but that means, so it's
Sunday, Monday.
6 hours. So it's 9 hours of television, oh, minus After Paradise, which I have been watching. It's become,
I already compared it to Roots on the website in my description.
I've developed, like, it has taken over my life in this way where I think about it and watch it so much, and I think it's become, like, all my life I never let myself have hobbies. It was, like, a thing that I did. Like, I really didn't believe in hobbies. And because I wanted to be a writer and I would get really, like, hair shirt about it. Like,
yeah.
Like, why do something else if you could be doing this? And I'm letting myself do this, and I could be doing so many other things. Like, I could have a nice yoga practice.
I really love it when you use the word hair shirt in that context. I've heard you do it before, and I feel really smart for getting it. But, I mean, obviously she's referring to the obscure Middle Eastern, Middle Ages, Dark Ages, like, religious.
I'm putting on a hair shirt made of...
It's a way Ashley to torture yourself in order to have, like, a religious experience and or to, like, repent for your sins.
I mean, I think it's pretty apt to what we're doing.
I know. But I don't disagree. I think it's a perfect use. I just love the way that you casually use it, like everyone uses it.
I like the way you talk.
Oh, and then you
say,
Molly.
And then you say, I like the way you talk.
It's I like the way you talk. Is that a joke quote?
Yeah, it's like Sling Blade.
Oh, see, in my mind, it could have just come from Joe, because that's the only place that my quotes come from now is Bachelor Nation.
I want that rose.
Give me that rose.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Anyway, so we're here. We're trying to catch up on 3 weeks. 9 hours, 6 episodes, I don't know. Just a lot of fucking content.
So I think what we're going to try to do is just, we'll start chronologically, and then the conversation will probably naturally meander. We're going to miss stuff. We're going to talk out of order, but yeah, we'll just see what we can do. We've got some other stuff to cover, you know, new features, what have you. So, okay, so if you recall, from the last episode, we did the first 2 weeks, and our episode ended on us talking about the Claire cliffhanger, who she was going to give a rose to, and it ended with her giving a rose to JJ and whatever, right? Or is that right? Or was it Claire? Anyway, it's been so long, but
yeah. The major focus of the last 3 weeks was the Joe and Samantha drama, as the buzzword goes. But so we started off week 3 with Joe and Samantha's like barf worthy date, where they were like, we're gonna put you on this People magazine hot body shoot, and there were just a lot of references to Joe's potential boner, like, oh, Joe seems so happy. I could really tell, you know, like all these things.
There's nothing I hate more than sexual innuendo. I remember one time I went out to brunch with like a couple that had like just hooked up for the first time like the night before, and they were like sitting across from me, and like they just kept being like, "We got a lot done last night," isn't that right? Like elbowing each other, and it was just like the most insufferable thing. I'm just like, I get it, you guys fucked last night, like. Why are you trying to be cute right now?
Like, oh, it's so, yeah, so gross. And
I'm going to puke all over my omelet. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm not, like, grossed out. I'm just, like, don't be, like, you're not being, like, dodgy. Like, we're all adults here.
And, I mean, yeah, my default is that probably you did have sex last night. I don't need you to tell me that. Like, I'm imagining you did. Like, right. It would actually be... Take the time to tell me if you didn't and you're upset about it. Like but otherwise, I assume that, like...
It's a cute announcement of your coupleship. Like, you guys are sitting close together and, like, holding hands. I get it. You guys, like, that's all I mean. Like, they just kept looking at each other being like, we got... It was like, what did you do last... It got to the point where it was like, sounds like maybe you guys did, like, more than sex. Like, that they did, like, some new circus routine, like, as well. Like, they were just...
Like, the elephant's still tied up out front.
Like, wow. Okay, wait. I get it. You guys did some really kinky shit last night. Like,
well, and then speaking of...
Either
well,
talk
not.
To me about it, like, explicitly, which would be interesting, or shut the fuck up. Anyway, enough about them.
No, but, I mean, talking about other barf-worthy things, there's that scene where I think we're watching Joe get a handjob in a hot tub.
Yeah.
And, like, his head goes back, and he's like, keep doing that.
He's like, this is the best day of my life.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's so gross. It's so gross. And... I don't know. I remember going to like this like birthday extravaganza at the beach one year.
For and your birthday or
no,
someone else's.
And by the end of the weekend the hot tub was just like it was a litter of like beer cans and like
semen
detritus, you know? And that I can't stop thinking about that when I think about hot tubs. And then I just saw that whole scene. It was just too much, you know? And
Phil drained his hot tub after he was so excited about it. Remember when Phil wouldn't shut up about getting a hot tub for like 3 months?
Right. And you were always like, you can come over, we've got a hot tub. I never saw
it. It was operational for a week and then he drained it and then like filled it with his hoard. Yeah. Like it's just like it's filled with all these antiques that he's gonna sell someday after.
Like 7 cars there, and like
I cleaned up a lot, and his parents cleaned up a lot. But anyway, I shouldn't talk about that anymore. Dangerous waters, people you don't know doing things you can't see. My ex-boyfriend is a hoarder.
It is like you could just have piled the trash. You don't need a hot tub to hold it.
It's just like a great physical representation of like his big ideas and their death. You know.
Oh, I'm looking around my room now wondering what my...
Her room is, like, very beautiful and, like, it's decorated nicely.
But what does that pile of sweaters mean, Molly?
I mean, it's not, like, perfect. Like, I mean, like, it looks like a person lives here, but, like... Like, that's fine. There's this house that I have a dog at that for dog walking, and it's, like, they have no... items. Like, it's just, like, this... It looks like a set. Like, yeah. It's just, like, perfectly decorated. Like, creepily. And they have, like, a pillow that says, home. It's like, oh, cool. I didn't... like, in case you forget where you are.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. Where it's like, how do you not...
Like, where is all your stuff? Like...
Yeah. Like, where... What do you do with your things? The things you pick up along the way?
Nothing. Like, I mean, it must be all, like... somewhere, but, or they just, like, they're one of those people that, like, bought, like, a book on, like, organization and really followed it to the letter. Like, you bring one thing in, you take one thing out. Everything has a home. If you put your keys in the same place every time when you come home, you'll find them. And we shut up.
Yeah, like, you can't keep these things from the past. We'll only drag your emotional sorrow along with you. Like, what? Yeah, that. Whereas, I'm very fond of that old coffee mug in the corner that has a leg bone in it. You see that?
Yeah, I do.
I like that.
Oh, man. I just visited my brother in L.A., and he's just got the coolest, weirdest shit. He has a framed photo of my sister who won Miss Waterford, Michigan, where we're from, in 1995. So she won the beauty pageant, and her prize was, like, this, like, you know, like, studio photograph of herself in, like, a fancy dress. And my brother, like, keeps that on the wall, like, in, like, a weird shrine, like, in every apartment he's ever lived in. He's got, like, skulls, like, real human skulls that he bought off the internet. Like a taxidermy duck, like I don't know, really cool shit. He's my hero.
Yeah, the pictures he sent me, it just looked like your place.
My dream place.
Anyway, back to the Bachelor in Paradise. So Joe and Samantha having disgusting, weird, just because.
And Julia just feels so betrayed. Yeah. Like, she thought that they had a great connection. I mean, we all, like, they really laid out this plot line that Joe was full of shit the whole time, so this is not a reveal. It's just Julia's finding out for the first time, even though she was warned by multiple people, but... So, and then she tries to confront Samantha, like, she thinks that her and Samantha are friends, and she's like, Samantha's my friend, I can't believe this, and she's like, I'm just gonna warn Samantha about what a jerk Joe is, and Samantha's just like, I don't see the problem.
And she's like, let's bring Joe in here to have the it reminded me of when I lived in Portland, and, like, the early 2000s, that people would always want to, like, group mediate, and they'd be like, well, let's get everyone in the room, and we can talk together and process our feelings together, you know, like, uh-huh. Samantha was very much doing that, but I don't know, I don't have a huge amount of empathy for Julia, just in the sense that Joe is such a piece of shit that, like,
well, this
it's hard to be like, yeah, you really did you wrong, because it's like, he did, but also, like, use this as a, like, take that pass out of town, my friend.
Like, we can't possibly believe that someone would, like, use a little bit of trickery to stay on the show. Like, yeah. Like, they couldn't, like, they're blindsided by it. And also this narrative developed of, like, Julia being a single mom, and if she doesn't find love in paradise, then this is her last chance. Like, she'll never find love again.
Right.
Like, I said to Megan, like, literally everyone but, like, the 50 people that have been on these shows finds love outside of a TV show. Like, she can find a boyfriend and not on TV. It's okay. She's gonna be all right. But anyway, she's still on the show.
Yeah. So, what else happened? Carly and Kirk went on a date. Kirk got cold feet for a minute. He was like, I don't know. I'm not ready to have... Like, he pulled... this weird prude card where he's like, I'm not sure I'm ready yet to have sex. And then he decides to have the sex. And yeah. The sex is, like, the game changer for him. And he comes out and he inexplicably says, Carly is like a pinball machine. Which I hope is purely sexual.
One thing I think is great about Bachelor in Paradise, as contrasted with The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, is that it's like a much more organic setup in terms of the way that relationships naturally progress when you're an adult. Like, you know, you fuck after dating for 2 weeks. Like, that's normal. Like, the way that they do it on...
More like the first day, but right, I mean, like, who's to say?
The way that... Yeah, well, you know... like you, me, and Alice have all said that, like, we don't get how people can just, like, kiss goodnight after a date. It's like either there's nothing or you fuck.
Yeah, like
we don't get how, like,
yeah, the stages are really confusing to me. At what point are you like, oh, like, the night isn't,
like, no. It's time to end the makeout session and go home with blue balls. Like, why would you do that? Just
or like, why? Yeah, why? It's like, don't get on the train if you don't want to take the journey, you know? Like,
and that's all The Bachelor is. It's just these relationships based on, like, tongue kisses for a moment. For weeks. I have literally never had a relationship where we just kissed for weeks at a time leading up to like, all-night sexual encounter.
I think that that's only works for people who, like, started... quote-unquote dating in, like, middle school, you know, or elementary school, and they're like, yeah, like, I had a you know, a date when I was in seventh grade, and it's like, we just kissed, but it's like, yes, because you, like,
right, okay,
you didn't even have pubic hair, like, you didn't, like, yes, you just kissed, but I don't think, like, as an adult that happens. But.
I'm trying to think if I've ever been on a date where at the end of it we made out, and then that was it, and I don't recall. I've also never had, like, two dates, you know what I mean? I either have one date and it doesn't work, or I have one date and then we date for 3 months or something. I'm trying to remember if I ever, like, third date, but then it didn't work out. But I'm a real all-or-nothing kind of person. I don't know.
Yeah. You really are. You really are, Molly.
Oh, well, let's hear your traditional, like...
No, I was linear. Like... I'm like, oh, yeah, I've had three dates. It's like, yeah, you had, like, a three... Like, 3 week, like,
a crazy... A 3 week
tryst, crazy tryst, and then, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
I guess...
I don't know. But we're probably somewhere.
We're not the target market. Yeah. We're like, whoa, why isn't everybody? Slut faces like
us. Oh, the horror show. What else? So, Dan
breaks up with Ashley.
He is like, your crazy's coming out. Which, I love her crazy. She's so bizarre. I mean, or maybe just an alcoholic.
Yeah, I mean, you compared it to a friend of ours that I won't say her name, but, like, can you imagine dating her?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she's a cool person to hang out with at the bar, but, yeah, I could see how that would...
Yeah, just, like, on and off, just totally a different person
half the time. Just a batshit person when she's drunk.
Yeah. And then, so... Ashley's still sort of, like, loitering around, but doesn't seem to want to date anyone else besides Dan. And then he goes on a date with Amber, the one who Ashley has this friend who she calls, she's like, she's literally a baby doll.
She's like, I love her so much. She's so, like, she's literally, yeah, I don't know. Oh my god, and the way that, remember how Ashley S. acted when Dan broke up with her? She was saying that it was like Ashley S. uses the word literally a lot, and I found myself all week long using the word literally like an uncomfortable amount, and I feel like it's her influence.
Yeah.
But, she was like, this literally feels like a death. Like, she was like, this is like the worst pain ever, and it's like, I get it, like, that is sort of how it feels in the moment, but you should at least have the self-awareness to know that it's not actually that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you've been dating for somebody for a week and they, like, hurt you, you know? But, I don't know. whatever. Ashley S. is actually pretty young. She's, like, 25.
They're all, like, their ages are very confusing to me. Maybe because now when I see people who are, you know, at my ripe old age of 32, like, I see people who are in their early 20s, and they look so young to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the people on the show don't look that young.
They pretty much look like contemporaries to me. Some of them, I mean, Amber looks very young, and, like, Mackenzie is 22, and she looks really young.
Mackenzie looks really young.
She hasn't come up yet, but whatever, spoiler.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's that I...
Samantha looks like...
I look much older than I anticipate myself looking, or if they look older just by virtue of being the kind of people who'd be on Bachelor in Paradise, or... I don't know.
I don't know. Tim said that Samantha looks like a Disney villain. Like, she looks like
yeah, she totally
like
does.
Jasmine, but evil.
You know? Yeah, yeah, or like the queen from Snow White, but like when she was young.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
It was pretty affirming when he kept being like, I don't know why anybody sees her, because like all anybody talks about is how beautiful Samantha is, and like I think she's pretty, but like they act like, I mean, like, is there that big of a difference in the beauty between Samantha and, say, Jade, you know?
Like, yeah, I don't know. I think part of it is that Samantha turns it out, like, she is constantly perfectly coiffed.
Yeah.
Whereas Jade has totally, Jade's since hooking like up with tomboyish. Tanner, she's, like, frumped it up, like.
Yeah. Maybe that's why, like,
you know, she likes to wander around now just in her, like, natural state, which I think is beautiful, but, like, Samantha is constantly, like, her hair is in a perpetual blowout.
Yeah, it's perfect. Her makeup's perfect. She's got a perfect
body. The power that she has is really, like, it's really intense over all these people.
I am just struck by her.
Oh, yeah.
We'll play the clip soon. It hasn't come up yet, but... So this episode ends with, JJ confronting Joe about Samantha, like, the whole, like, this Joe-Samantha thing has really been blown up, but, yeah. And then the next week starts, like, it's, like, that's the Sunday episode, and then on Monday, the Joe and JJ thing is, like, nothing, it's, like, a non-issue, like, they're not gonna fight on TV, so they just walk away from that, and then there's a roast ceremony,
Yeah, there's the predictable roses.
So we've got the couples that are already established, Joshua and Tenley, Kirk and Carly, Tanner and Jade.
And then there's this thing where everybody wants Julia to get a rose because she's been fucked over. And JJ's talked to Julia, and Julia essentially said, like, don't give me a rose because I want you to have a chance with love. And JJ had gone on this date with this girl. I don't know. She looks kind of like Meghan Trainor. I really dislike her face.
And her name is also Meghan, right?
Yeah, her name is also Meghan. I don't know. There's something about her particular face that I must have some kind of emotional connection to it where I'm just like, ah. He decides, like, you know, Julia's like, don't give it up for me, basically. Mm-hmm. And then JJ sort of, I mean, maybe the show is just spelled out. I'm sure that he knew not to give it to Julia so that what happened later could work out. The way that it reads is that he was just too dense and he was like, she no want rose. Like, uh-huh. I gave rose to, you know, like, and he inexplicably gives his surprise rose move to Ashley S. And was like, she deserves to find love too. And then, oh my God, the editing. The editing on the show is so amazing. Whoever's doing this is a pure artist.
Oh, I want to work on the show.
they give JJ this music that is essentially like,
it sounds like
King takes the throne.
It sounds like the music that swells at the end of a West Wing episode when, like, they're doing the right thing politically, and then it's like, da, da, da. Like, there's still, like, justice in this world,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, the process still works.
It's a very justice-driven speech that JJ gives, where he's like, I left a girl at home. I gotta go get her back.
And he's like, I did a great thing here. The women here think I'm awesome. I really killed it.
Yeah, here. And so he, like, he gives Ashley S. his rose and wanders off into the night to go retrieve his lady, which I don't know if he ever gets her back.
Well, we do know, Meghan, because remember we Googled it. And
yeah, so you tell us about it. I was trying to keep up the illusion, Molly.
Oh, sorry. no, because we were curious, like, who is this woman that he... So I Googled... did JJ get his girlfriend back? And God bless the internet. They knew exactly who I was talking about. And somebody wrote an article about it. I'm going to read the statement that he gave. I'm floored at all the love tonight. Thank you. And in response to whether I got the girl, unfortunately, I did not get the girl back. She is an amazing woman. Not a cool chick, an amazing woman. Definitely was a bummer. This show makes some things quite challenging. So, I am single, divorced, live with my parents, and play beer league hockey and PS4 in my ample free time. Please form an orderly queue. And that is why I like JJ, because he knows how to spell
ample
queue.
Used, like, outside of, like,
in my
bosom?
Well, JJ, I really enjoy his work as a writer.
I know, you love it. You love his canon of literature.
No, yeah, I have. Like, it's, like... Which is ample, like, in The Big Lebowski, he says, I hope that Bunny will learn to live on her allowance, which is ample. You know, like, considerable, yeah.
Well, sometimes I think about just watching movies more so that you'll love me more.
I think that some people think that I'm a smart person, and I know the truth, that my 70% of my intelligence is just a collage of smart things that people have said in movies that I've incorporated into my lexicon.
But, I mean, that assumes that smartness is something different.
Well, I feel like I've been able to fake illiteracy based on just, like, loving TV and movies. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. I guess I'll give myself credit for being able to incorporate these things, but, like, it's, you know, I don't know. I'm like, yeah, people use that. I saw it in a movie. Ample. I don't know. Seems kind of idiotic.
Don't cut yourself down.
You're right. I'm a snort.
So then after that, and this is why, I mean, this shows some of the scaffolding of the show, right, is that, like, JJ must have known, not, I do think that regardless of his doltishness, he must have known not to give his rose to Julia, because...
You're right, I didn't think of that, but it's, like, that's the only way that whole thing with Mikey...
Right.
Well, you know, they might have said either way, like, Yeah, no, you're right. That the way that it worked out is
like, yeah. Like I think I mean I think that that's the part where we have to turn a little bit of a blind eye to the making of the show because
I think they must be pulling the strings every now and then.
Every now and then, or constantly.
I will say that I don't think that the entire show is scripted and orchestrated just because, like, sometimes it's really kind of clumsy and clunky. Like, for example, the fact that Lauren, Ashley's sister, was on for, like, 1.5 episodes and the whole thing about how, like, if Ashley gets a rose, she gets to stay. Like, that seemed like it would have been a potential plot point, and it was just nothing. Like, it didn't amount to anything because she just left.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So that makes me think that sometimes, like, they try to orchestrate stuff, like, some stuff is planned, but I think that they really are just sort of, like, they're picking personalities and they're putting them in situations, but they're letting them loose, and then a lot of it is, like, how they choose to edit the show.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah. That's okay. What I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, Julia walks away. She thinks she's going home. And then she had spoken to Chris Harrison, who I am more and more obsessed with his. Like, you'll see people in these scenes where everyone is. There was a lot of sweat on the past episode. Like, particularly, who's the real pretty boy?
Justin.
Like, in certain scenes, like, his shirts were just drenched. Like, people are sweating.
Do you remember when he was on a date and he was on a date with Amber and she pulls his shirt off and, like, the whole emphasis is, like, look at what a hot bod, and no one's talking about the fact that he has, like, the patchiest sunburn.
The worst
it's
sunburn.
Like, so frightening.
It looks like he wore, yeah, like, he wore a woman's bikini or something. Like, you're just like, what's happening
It was
to
like,
you?
It was like someone put suntan lotion on, like, a quarter of his body in, like, a weird spasty pattern, but, like, it looked like he had, like, a horrible rash, really. Yeah. And it was just, like, hot bod, and I was just like, all right. Like, yeah. I mean, it is, but, like, I'm more distracted by
by the fact that you maybe have the mumps. Like,
like, you know,
yeah, no,
paradise is not paradise for you. You're too white, bro.
Well, that's the thing, is that you'll see people clearly physically suffering, like, their shirt, you know, I watched,
like, when they were out in the cold for that rose ceremony that one time.
Yeah, or, no, but there was, like, a certain scene where Justin comes in and he hugs someone and the back of his shirt looks like he's been hosed down. It's horrifying to look at. And then pan to Chris Harrison, who, like, always looks pristine. Like, they're probably, like, tiny little cooler fans inside his suit. Like, I think he's a robot.
It's like he's been in, like, the, yeah, perfectly air-conditioned van. He steps out, does his, like, 35-second scene, and then, like, just goes back to, like, Magic Land.
Yeah. Well, and I do have this prediction that if he ever wants to step down from the show, the only way he could do it would be if he was The Bachelor. You know? Like, that would be the ultimate. Kind of. Are you raising your hand? Are you raising your hand to say something?
I was. I wanted to ask you if you happen to know what Chris Harrison's latest gig was, because I just happened to read this. It wasn't in a Bachelor context, but I read this on the internet today, what his next, like, gig is on TV.
No.
It's not, like, exciting. Like,
Beyond the Perfect Letter, which I am struggling through, because much like Chris Harrison, it is cleanly written, it is smoothly delivered, and yet there's something that is missing. Like, I'm going through it, and it's
water.
I don't know. Like, I can't figure it out. I can't figure out what the spark is that's missing. But I keep reading it, and being like, "Huh, good writing, good, like, plot development." Good. I don't know.
How does it compare to your experience of reading 50 Shades of Grey?
I mean, I much more.
Is 50 Shades more salacious or not really? Or
oh, yeah. Yeah, more salacious, but it's almost like the smoothness, like, much like Chris Harrison, the smoothness of it creates dullness. Like, there's a driving force in reading things like 50 Shades of Grey because they're so bad that drives you on.
Yeah,
you know,
I can see
like,
that.
Where you're just like, oh, no, like, this is what's happening now. And then.
Did you ever look at the numbers for his book?
No, I haven't. I couldn't bear it.
Well, anyway, before we lose the thread.
What were you raising your hand for?
Yeah, no, it's not that cool. He's going to be the new daytime host of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Like, eventually.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just a little concerned that it will cut into his. He could do both. Like, I don't want a new host.
I don't know. You know? Yeah, and I don't, like, know how. I mean, yeah, he can do both, but he's already brand, like, after Paradise is a bit of a stretch. Though it is where he lets his hair down, I've noticed.
And I mean, how much work did that take? It's over, the show takes place over 2 months, right?
Yeah.
And he pops in for, like, literally a couple minutes every episode, you know? It's not heavy lifting for him.
No, but I like to think he's there as a supporter. He's there throughout. Like, he's really...
He seems to be there, like, whenever, like, Julia was just like, hey, I want to talk to Chris Harris. And he's just like, what? Oh, okay, I'm here. Like, he's just, like, napping until, like, he gets called upon.
I know.
He's like a robot that they turn on. Well, what if he's a robot, you guys?
I do think he is.
He's on robot watch a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's totally on robot watch. He doesn't sweat. He always is. Although there have been a couple times when his fashion was a little off point, and I was like, huh. Like, I'm very interested to see the man behind the coif, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so... So Julia walks out. She had talked to Chris Harrison about wanting Mikey T back for, like, inexplicable reasons, except for just wanting to save herself. Right. Really?
Like, turns out I had a connection with Mikey T also.
And then,
perfect. Why not Jonathan, you know?
Like, yeah. She just told, but she told Jonathan she didn't have a connection.
Oh, okay. So yeah. She didn't go back on that.
Yeah. So, they show up and then they just, like, bound back, they skip back to Paradise, like, without
and they're just a unit now, yeah. Like, conscious.
Yeah, which, like, speaking of which, I should tell you that we received our first fan letter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Do you want to hear it? I think it might be from a
crazy person. I thought you were kidding when you said you got a fan letter.
No, I mean, I've gotten a couple of, like, nods from people I vaguely know, but this was our first, like, bona fide, like, someone who is...
Well, yeah, let's... What the fuck, yeah. Okay. Bust out the fan letter.
I'm also not sure if we might be getting spammed. It relates to Mikey T. Dear Megan and Molly, as a fan of the After the Rose podcast for the past year, I found it disheartening the way you talked about Mikey T's muscular body. As an advocate for body pride, to classify and clump Mikey T's perfectly chiseled body into a value that makes him either attractive or unattractive is unfair. To say that he has a jug of protein powder under one arm and steroids under the other merely showcases your ignorance and discredits all the
Did
years.
Did one of us say that? That's clever.
I did say that.
Oh, nice.
I mean, I was like, yeah, like, yeah, yeah. You know, protein powder steroids.
Go on, don't let me.
Okay, merely showcases your ignorance and discredits all the years that Mikey T has had to dedicate to sculpting his Greek god body.
Oh, God, I really do have a genuine response to this, so I can't wait, but go on.
I love you, girls. I love you, girls, but I've agreed with you about a lot of things over the past couple of seasons, but this is the first time that I feel you're so very wrong.
This is serious as fuck.
I know. From the first episode of Bachelor in Paradise, Mikey T has done nothing but wear his heart on his sleeve, which I would say is like his imaginary sleeve, because he hasn't worn a shirt with a sleeve
this
all season.
This has got to be one of your Facebook friends or something. if they emailed you, then yeah.
It's obvious from the early episodes that Mikey T... I read meat-headed, but it says spear-headed. His beachfront CrossFit summer camp for all of the contestants, and because of that, Dan's and Kirk's abs have never looked better. In fact, you'll note that Carly, noted cruise ship singer and castaway from Chris's season, said, Kirk's abs have abs. I can only think of one plausible reason for that. Mikey T's beachfront CrossFit summer camp. I don't think I've cried more this calendar year than when Mikey T was sent home after doing his best to protect the group's darling Julia. So you can imagine all of the excitement burpees I did when it was revealed that the unprecedented had become precedented.
This has got to be a little tongue-in-cheek.
Mikey T and Julia were returned to the cast, given one last shot at love in paradise. I'm writing to obtain an apology on behalf of all the Mikey T disciples out here in Sin City, Las Vegas, and all across Bachelor Nation. Out of everyone, out of all the contestants, out of all the love seekers on Bachelor in Paradise, Mikey T is the most deserving of love, and I hope that his and Julia's love will blossom in these upcoming weeks, and they'll find their happily ever after. I ask if you disagree, and I await my on-air apology.
Okay.
Okay. A couple things. Let me get this straight. So I assume it's a man because of the like obsession with like
with the muscles.
Yeah, muscles and manliness. He's asking for us to apologize for like making fun of his muscles.
Because I think I said I was talking about how I find like the Mikey T type, like I look at them and I'm just like bleh. You know, like I think I actually made a barf noise when we talked about Mikey T.
Letter writer, gentle dear listener.
Gentle reader.
I am so sorry because I agree. I think that we've been very myopic when it comes to muscles, and I'll tell you why my change of heart. I just watched, and Alice has been talking about this movie for weeks. And telling me to watch it. I just watched Pumping Iron, the documentary.
Wait, you'd never watched that before?
No, I'd never seen it before. You've seen it?
No, but I remember there was a day when you were like, Alice and I are...
Yeah, we're gonna podcast about Pumping Iron.
You're like, Alice and I are pumping iron. And I was like,
I'm familiar with the expression.
Yes, but you shamed me because I said, oh, you and Alice are like working out together now. And you were like, Megan. Like, the fact that, like, I thought you guys were actually getting together to lift weights.
And I was just talking about the movie?
Yeah, and you were so disgusted, you, like, turned away.
Oh, well, it sounds like I overreacted. No, I don't know. Well, I don't know what to say to that, but, this movie is amazing, Pumping Iron. It's so fucking good.
Is it Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's a documentary of his last. He was a 5-time Mr. Universe winner, and it's about the year that he won it for the 6th and final time, and then retired. But it's all about like the world of international bodybuilding competition in the late 70s, It's like so sincere and like fucking interesting and like. I mean, these men work so hard, and honestly, I genuinely kind of, like, at least had a new understanding of what bodybuilding is, because, like, I do think that it's idiotic from, like, an outside perspective, but Arnold Schwarzenegger explains it as this, like, complicated, beautiful craft of, like, you're, like, a sculptor, and you have an idea of what the perfect, muscle, because it's all about symmetry and getting as big as you possibly can, and, like, you're working particular muscles, and he's, like, if I work my deltoids, like, I have to, like, take it into, like, I have to build everything, like, proportionally and all of this stuff, and it really, like, it gave me an appreciation for what that is as a sport and as a passion for men.
Really?
And I sincerely apologize to the letter writer, and I will no longer make the gorilla in a suit joke. I think it's a great joke, but I'm willing to retire it. I think it's a great joke, but, you know.
I don't know if I'm ready to retire. So, riddle me this. Okay. Like, so does the quest for muscles and the quest for, like, sex, intimacy, and love, are those two separate things?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, for them, it's like, a sport, and also, like, it's a passion that is separate from those things. In fact, Arnold Schwarzenegger talks about, like, before a competition, if he doesn't want to be in a relationship because that would be distracting. Like, he can't, like, get upset by, like, a woman's needs or something, like, before he, like, goes to compete. It's about perfection. It's about men that are obsessed with achieving the perfect male form. It takes a tremendous amount of dedication, and, like, you have to work your muscle to the point of complete exhaustion and pain, and it's in those last few reps of pain when you're literally tearing the muscle that you're building new muscle. So it's like this like horrible process that they go to, and then the reward is like maybe like winning a competition later.
And like, where do the steroids come in? Like, where is there that was okay, and where is that?
There was
okay?
Absolutely no mention whatsoever of steroids in this movie. And I don't know.
Of course not, Molly, because it's illegal.
I know, but like it wasn't even like brought up as a controversial thing or like hinted at. So like honestly, I don't know. I think that there are now in modern day bodybuilding, I think that there are natural bodybuilders quote unquote. And I think that there it's like explicit and everybody knows that people aren't using steroids. But I think that otherwise, anabolic steroids are just like a known entity. And that's anabolic steroids are the ones that, they don't affect your hormones in the bad way that like the traditional steroids of yore did. I know all of this because I had a student that was, like, obsessed with steroids and wanted to write every single paper in my class on steroids, so where it got to the point where he was like, can I write my, like, you know, final paper on steroids? I was like, you already wrote a paper on steroids! No! Like, what the fuck?
I've just been haunted by the German Olympic team in the 80s, the women who were, like, mm-hmm. secretly given, like, they didn't even realize they'd been given all those steroids, and they, like, later in their lives, they were like, we should have known, and, like, all of them had these just tragic stories, but...
Well, the facts are that a lot of the negative side effects of steroids have been figured out, and so now it's really just about the cheating aspect. It's about, they want to... And I think that there's value in keeping it out of competitive sports, because it's like, you know, if it becomes the standard, then it becomes this compulsory thing where everyone has to in order to be competitive, and I think that's not fair. But, I don't know.
I like it when we turn the podcast to, like, science theater.
Like, I just got really, like, sincere and talked about that for really long. Like, I'm like, we have so much show to get through. Let's take a 20-minute diversion into the science of steroids, as taught to me by my old student, Chris.
Gentle letter writer. Molly offers her sincere apology. And I'm working on it. I don't think that Mikey T and Julia are destined for love. I think it was a lifeline for Julia. They're, like, it's a kind thing that they're doing for each other.
I would almost argue that Mikey T's muscles are the most interesting thing about him.
I can't really. And there's that scene where, like, they're on the date and he, like, won't get his hair wet and he's super, like...
Oh.
He's super intense.
I've kind of forgotten,
like,
about that.
That was one of my favorite moments in the entire, like, last 12 hours of television was when she basically calls him a pussy or something, where she's just like, and he's like, or she calls him her bitch or something like that. And that's, I was like, oh, funny. Yeah, that part was kind of beautiful. But anyway, so going on from there, thank you. Shout out to our fan.
Yeah, let's hear from other fans.
I know. I would like to hear from anyone and everyone. If they have, you know.
Yeah, no promises, but I mean, probably if we hear from you, you'll make it.
we'll work on a system to weed people out. So, like, a lottery if you can go on or not.
Yeah, line up, everybody. Take a number.
Form an orderly queue.
I'm still waiting JJ for one other say. Person to write a fucking review on iTunes besides me, but yeah. Hey, letter writer, write us a goddamn review on iTunes if you're such a committed fan. I actually haven't checked in a while, but... what's up next? What else happens?
What's up next? So Chris Bukowski shows up. He was the guy who was,
He was like a party animal on last Bachelor in Paradise.
On Caitlyn's season, he was the guy who showed up briefly and begged to be let on, and then she wouldn't let him on.
Was that Caitlyn?
Yeah, it was on Caitlyn's season.
And she think it was Desiree.
No, I didn't watch Desiree's season.
Oh, okay, then it had to have been Caitlyn's season.
Yeah, like...
No, there's no way it was Caitlyn's season because...
I promise.
No, it was the girl who looks like Caitlyn but isn't. Duckface ended up with Josh.
Andy.
It was Andy. Okay. Because remember, because it couldn't have been Caitlyn because they did, like, that double.
Oh, you're right. Okay, so, yeah, I've totally forgotten how long I've been a follower.
Wow. You were so certain.
I was.
That's payback for you getting Sean right. We're even. We're both the same.
Wait, mine was a way bigger.
Yeah, you're right.
So, on Andy's season, Chris shows up and begs to be let on. She doesn't let him on. And what else was he? Apparently, he was on Bachelor Pad.
Yeah, he was on Bachelor Pad, a show that I don't...
I never saw Bachelor Pad. What was the premise of that?
I don't know. I don't know. It's before my time.
Okay. So, he shows up, and there's this... Like, he just started...
We do have one more review, and it's Alice. Molly and Megan for presidents of Bachelor Nation.
I didn't mean to sound sad. Thank you, Alice.
Yay. Okay.
Okay. So hopefully, yeah, we're gonna keep stirring the pot.
And it was today or yesterday. It's yesterday. Yay.
It's great. Wait, did you just rate us again?
Yeah, I rate it every time I go on here. I don't think it counts every time, but never mind. Well.
Anyway, all of you loyal listeners out there, please get on iTunes and rate us.
Rate and subscribe. It's not hard.
Yeah. I need to work on my. I'm a little bit Amish sometimes. Anyway, so Crispy Kraske comes on. He just proceeds to get wasted and belligerent and doesn't want to show anyone his, like, ask anyone out on a date.
And Megan, were you like me when they, so, like, Bukowski's coming out tonight, he says, and, like, did you think for a fucking second, like, for just 1 second that they were making a literary reference to Charles Bukowski?
I was like, oh my gosh, like, he has an alter ego.
I'm like, cool.
I forgot it was his actual name, and I was like, all right, we're going all Bukowski. And I felt elevated.
I was so excited. I felt cool.
Like we were, yeah, that I could really qualify the amount of time I've spent. Like,
right, like it's starting to get edgy. They're starting to like, it's taking it to a new level. No,
his name.
They've never read a book in their life.
So, yeah, he blew his date card. He asked Tenley out after he was completely wasted.
He spent the whole day getting drunk.
And then again... Hats off to the video editors who, as he's like wandering away drunkenly, splice in like all of the
everything Tenley was saying to him, like it's all like
I'm
echoing.
Not gonna kiss you though, like
like just she's friends, right? Like, right,
yeah,
right,
she sounds like a weird witch where she's like, I'm not gonna kiss you, and it just goes over and over and over. But then Joshua, which I think was like, I felt like it was very chivalrous and daring, he asked Tenley or asked. Ask Chris for the date card to take Tenley out.
Yeah, he was like, you're drunk and blew it with my girlfriend. Like, do you mind if I use your date card to take out my girlfriend? He's like, all right, man. And then he just, like, skulks off the show, never to be seen again, and they, like, have a fun date.
Yeah, and then that's the one thing I will say for After Paradise. I know you don't watch it for moral reasons, but on it.
After Paradise, again, is the show that is like our show wherein they, like, talk about after the fact, but it's like the people that were on it and other people.
They're really taking our, stealing our thunder. But he went on and announced that he will no longer be entertaining the Bachelor franchise. They retired his jersey and then they retired the Raccoons jersey. At which point I let myself on fire because I've been wasting my life.
Did they have like a little raccoon jersey that they put in like a frame?
Yeah, and the raccoon was there wearing a jersey. Like
they brought out like a raccoon in a cage wearing a jersey.
You're gonna have to watch it, Molly. Raccoon.
Like it was like in its natural habitat, and they like it was like via satellite or.
No, it was just on the backstage. It's clearly like a faux raccoon, but it looked pretty real. Or else it was
like
a really
trained raccoon.
Like it was like a stuffed raccoon? I don't know. I'm going to need you to look at it and like...
Oh my god.
Make a decision.
Stop intriguing me.
I know. I actually really don't know if it was a real raccoon or an automated one. So you're going to have to weigh in. At which
raccoons are easy enough to train. I think it was probably a real raccoon, but I mean, they're like semi-domesticatable. Not entirely, but like people have pets as raccoons. It's not really recommended. Why are you looking at me like that?
How do you know this?
I watched a documentary called Raccoons. I know a lot about raccoons.
Imagine that you just reach under my bed right now and just pull out a raccoon.
There was a popular a raccoon cartoon in either China or Japan, and I know they're two completely different countries, but I can't remember which it was. I think it was Japan. I think it was China. I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm sorry. I know that they're different. I don't know which one it was, but Japan, and it started like this craze of people wanting raccoons as pets. So like everybody in Japan got like a raccoon as pet, and they're like not indigenous to the area, and like people realized that they couldn't have raccoons as pets, and so like they let them go, and now there's like a huge raccoon like problem in that area. Like
that's sort of the same thing with the potbelly pig craze here.
Yeah.
Like now there's just potbelly pigs everywhere.
No, like, there is. Like, when I was in high school, I worked for this place called Pigs Beast Sanctuary, which is up north a little bit.
No, but they're, like, wild, like, and, like, yeah.
But, I mean, but people would get potbelly pigs thinking they were getting miniature potbelly pigs.
Oh, and then they'd be huge.
And then they would end up with giant ones that are, like, 300 pounds. So Pigs Beast Sanctuary has a van where they take out, where they'll get a call that's, like, pig in an alley, and everybody would go out in the van and pick up this giant, like, 300-pound pig and bring it back to the sanctuary. And when you get there, they all run out to you on their little hooves.
Do you remember that guy in Ohio that, like, had, like, 15 exotic animals and, like, he shot himself?
Oh, God. The one, and he let the tiger.
And, like, they found him and, like, the tiger's just, like, circling around his bed and they ended up killing all of the animals because they were, like, loose. Yeah.
It was so awful.
I remember that story. I was, like, driving back to Michigan, and I was, like, out, like, an hour away from where that happened, like, when I heard about it. It was, like, a weird, surreal coincidence, and I was, like, oh, my God, I could have saved the tiger. I was, like, I was, like, a staunch vegan at the time, and I was, like, enraged that they killed the animals.
I mean, the whole thing it was really crazy. Sad. They had, like, a shoot-on-contact thing happen.
Yeah. I mean, the Ohio local police department, in fairness, isn't really equipped to deal with, like, wild animals. Like, they don't know, like, how to trank an animal safely. Like, so they had to just kill them.
They don't go through, like, tiger training. Yeah. And, like, in Elyria.
It was a public safety issue, and they did what they could with their resources at the time. Like, I forgive them.
But, yeah, it was still...
This is, Megan, this is going to be the longest episode to date.
Okay, we really
It's okay. I mean, like, I really don't mind going over an hour. I'm just saying, like, it's probably going to happen. We've really diverged a lot, but that's okay.
Well, so after Josh takes Henley out, they have I don't like how Josh constantly makes sexual innuendos that are, like, super dorky, where he's like, who's aphrodisiac?
Oh, I didn't know.
Horny
notice.
Cheese. Like, where he's just like, don't say horny. Don't
he's
say
really
it.
Not that smart,
Megan. He's not. But, like, I mean, they seem really happy together.
But let's skip ahead to the juicy Samantha, Dan, Joe triangle.
Yeah, so Dan has fallen under the spell of Samantha, and he's like it makes me think less of Dan. He's like,
it really does. It's sort of, yeah, I thought he was kind of cool, and he's just,
he's like, I just think we could have something. Like,
I think it's one of those things where he perceives himself as the most attractive person on the show, and I think arguably he might be, like, the most, like, attractive man, maybe, like,
I don't know. I also think that he is categorically one of the few men that looks way better without a beard, judging from all of his photographs.
Yeah, I always like a man with a beard. I think with the beard, he looks too, like, indistinguishable. He just looks like a handsome man. I mean, I guess that's the goal, so. I'm like, you just look like a handsome man. Put a beard on it.
That's your new tagline.
But I think that that's the majority rule. I've heard that other places as well, that people don't like.
Where you
like
been hanging out?
Like, just like another person that we both know also said that.
I like it when you take my questions so literally. But yeah, anyway, so he talks to Samantha, and
he basically is just like, are you sure you want to end up with Fish Monster Joe? Like, you're hot. And, like, Joe is just like, over, like, he just can't believe that he's won you. Like, he's just like, oh my God. And he's just gonna, he's fake. His personality is fake. He's just trying to be a perfect person for you. Like, and I'm, like, he doesn't ever say, like, I'm the better choice, but he's just like, I don't think you should stay with Joe.
And he does make the, like, compelling scenario where he's like, the first time you're out with your friends and your phone dies and you don't answer, he's gonna lose his shit, which I completely agree with.
Yeah, that's probably 100%
what happened.
Because that is, in fact, kind of what happens when a genuinely shocking, like, rose ceremony move. Samantha, like, Joe, like, is sure that, like, he's secure in his relationship with Samantha, and she's just like, in a surprise twist, like, 10 minutes ago, someone talked me out of my love for Joe, and I'm gonna give this rose to Dan instead.
I don't know that she would have... I feel like she would have given it to Dan anyway. Like, I don't know that she was gonna give it to Joe.
There was no indication that she was leaning any other way. That might be true, but, like, in terms of the narrative that was presented to us, like, it was, like, they were, like, kissing and, like... Because Samantha earlier, like, we're really breezing through the events, but earlier Justin came on the show and asked Samantha out on a date, and at first she said yes, but, like, Joe was, like, had lost his shit so much about it that, like, Samantha, like, was, like, okay, like, I won't go out on the date with Justin. So, like, it really seemed like she was trying to, like... you know, do what was expected of her and stay with Joe. But anyway, so when Samantha doesn't give her rose to Joe, everyone is just like, because they feel like she's trying to, like, not take responsibility for the villainy and just put it all on Joe, and no one's buying it. They all, like, hate her. And,
And then there's, like, Joe gets in the cab and starts... Like, he's been threatening to expose these texts all along.
The damning texts that are really just, like, a confirmation of what we've already been told.
Yeah, like there's no question that the texts...
Of course they happened.
But then there's this amazing fallout. And then, I mean, can you play the fallout? Oh, God.
So this is Ashley S., So it starts with her talking to her at the rose ceremony, and then it goes into an interview with her.
Sam, you're so beautiful, but I'm literally, like, struck by your beauty. Like, I don't understand where you're coming from right now. I really don't. Like, I literally, honestly feel so struck by you.
What the f*** is going on?
That was Ashley I.
I'm sorry. Samantha, what the f*** are you doing here? You are so pretty.
She's so drunk.
It's like Aphrodite. It's like a game. Like, you weren't born out of a flower or a seashell. She's like a dead bird to me.
Is that not the best writing you've ever heard on this show? She's like a dead bird to me.
I love her so much.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she's totally...
Every bitch that crosses me, hey. Technical difficulties.
No, yeah. She's like a dead bird to me. Yeah, she's amazing. And, yeah. I don't know. I think that is really...
And that's really, like, the last we hear of Samantha. Like, she sort of, like, ceases to be a plot point for now. Like, she's really, like...
I mean, there was only, like, the last hour episode after that we really saw much of anything.
Is that true? Okay, so we're actually getting down to...
Yeah, we're totally, like...
Well, a lot happened, but we actually just... I think what happened here on our notes, Megan, is that we just stopped taking notes. Like, there actually is more show, but it's just,
well,
like,
I mean,
Jesus
so
Christ.
In the... Yeah, that was what happened in the, like... the first episode of last week, and then the second one, the final hour. All of a sudden, they start throwing in, like, new...
Like, three women show up.
Yeah, like, this woman, Chelsea, who, I don't know. She seems real sweet, but she's got sort of an unformed face.
She looks like she's from Kentucky, no offense. It's too bad Fish Monster Joe is gone.
and then this woman, Jacqueline, who, whoa. She shows up in, like, a baby romper. Like, a weird, like, an old-time swimsuit. Like, she's super Botoxed, and she comes in very,
she's
like...
She's very strange-looking.
Yeah, she comes in and she's like, I'm not here to, you know, I'm here to fuck with everybody.
She's like, I don't care who's single and who's not single. She keeps being like, the boys are probably so bored with their girlfriends. Like, it's been 2 weeks. Like, oh my God, they're so bored. Jesus. It's like,
and then she's sort of trying to work her strange magic, not magic, on Jared. And it seems to be working.
Wait. Before we get to that, though, we have to mention the fact that Ashley I wrote that letter to Jared.
Right. Yeah. So that was back. Ashley I, who is apparently... has a master's in journalism and claims to be a natural-born writer.
She's a natural-born writer.
She writes Jared a, you know, he accepts the rose from her.
He accepts the rose from her because of the letter.
Yeah. And it's clearly part of the narrative and just clear in general that he is sort of, he's tethered to her.
He's going along with it because he's a nice guy, like, that she's been so, like, effusive in her praise. I mean, and he starts reading this letter, and it's front to back, and it's, like, 10 pages of, like, written note. And, by the way, the writing, I mean, is about as eloquent. She's like, she hands it to him, and she's like, I'm so much better on paper than I am, like, you know, talking. So, like, read this letter, process it, think about it. Like, don't come talk to me right away. Take the time. It takes him, like, an hour to read the letter.
But, I mean, it makes sense in this way where it's like, okay, your choice is everybody else is coupled off or what, you know, like, what have you. Like,
he doesn't really have much of a choice anyway.
Either leave or sort of take the bait.
Like, give Ashley another chance.
Yeah. And so like does. we end that episode with like Jacqueline is about to ask Jared out when Ashley I goes to Chris Harrison and says like, give me a date that'll end with boning, like that will end with a fantasy suite.
And she's just like, I might not be a virgin after tomorrow, and everyone's like, oh my god.
And
like,
she asks Jared, and he gives her like the reluctant yes.
Yeah, he like pauses, like, yeah. Okay.
He's like, sure, I'd do that with you. Like, well, okay, we could see how that goes.
And Jacqueline does make a good point, this new weird woman. He's like, nobody wants to take a virgin's virginity, a 27-year-old's virginity, like, on a TV show, and she just, like, throws herself at you. Like, I would really feel strange about that. Like, I'd be like, are you sure, Ashley? Like, you've clearly been saving this for a reason. Yeah. Like, I mean...
And her, like, Ashley keeps being like, my eyes were built to look at Jared.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow, I'm glad that someone's where, like, Jared seems like a nice enough guy, but...
I feel like really beautiful people, that just ipso facto, I don't know if I'm using that term correctly, like, it just becomes, like, the most important qualifier for them in finding a mate, like... You're really beautiful, so it's just, like, you'd, like, look for somebody that's proportionately beautiful and then, like, think that, like, the personality stuff will just fall into place. Like, I don't know.
I guess I just don't think Jared is, like, that's... I mean, I think he's a good-looking guy. I just don't think he's, like, staggeringly beautiful, you know? Like, why wouldn't she go for, like, a Justin or somebody who looks like a weird male underwear model?
To me, they're, like, it's just, like, most everybody on the show is in that category of, like, you're as hot as, like, a person gets. Like, you're just up there and, like, the you can potentially date anybody because there's nothing really wrong with you or your body. You know what I mean? I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does. It does, but you're like you keep going back to this thing where you're like, everyone has reached a level of beauty. Like, you're like, I can no longer differentiate their levels of beauty. They're all beautiful. That's how I feel. Whereas I don't know that I feel that way, like, about, like, Jared's got a weird fang tooth. Like, he's got a snarl tooth.
I guess you're right.
He's got a weird tattoo beard. Like, he's not, you know, he's not a Ashley built kind of guy.
But I would say that Ashley I is perfect. I mean, she has perfect teeth, she has perfect skin, right, she has a perfect body. She has small tits, but I mean, like, that, some people, I like those.
Yeah, you know. I guess I think that if you were going for some kind of magazine judgment of beauty, like, Ashley I is on, you know, like, Jared is... He's got a snarl tooth. He's not super built. He's kind of a little guy. He's got a patchy beard, like...
Hmm, well, all right, fair enough, yeah. Well, maybe he should go out with Jacqueline, because they're more, more proportional in there. Oh, I don't know. I don't know either.
Anyway, so, at where we are now... There's all these big...
It's a cliffhanger to the fantasy suite, and then...
Yeah, and next week is the...
Next week is the last week, Sunday and Monday.
Right? And I think it's two hours both days. And there's a big buildup about something happening. An engagement proposal and a giant disruption with one of the couples.
Yeah, well...
Potentially Jade and Tanner.
It looks like it's Jade and Tanner. It looks like it's pretty clearly Jade and Tanner. And then, I mean, if there's going to be a proposal, it's got to be... Carly and Kirk, but I mean,
yeah, that's what I would say. But
I didn't know. I didn't know anything that was a proposal. Misdirection.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the rules are going to be the same this year, because it seemed last year like it was sort of just a strange setup of, like, you win the show if, like, by the end of it you've decided that you're going to try to date outside of the show.
Right.
That's how it's determined. Like, right. And if you decide that you are going to do that, then you stay and you get, like, a fantasy suite. But some of them have already done that, so, like, I don't know.
Wait, you stay and you get a fantasy
suite? Well, you stay overnight. Remember last season, Sarah, the one-armed girl? Uh-huh. Like, that was, because that, it was, the crescendo was that you get to spend all night with the person.
Right. Yeah, they have.
And they've already kind of been doing that. So I don't know how they're going to wrap it up. You know, like, what
yeah, it is. Yeah, because that now happens. You can just get a date where you stay all night right away. Yeah.
Right. So they've got to do something else. So we'll see what it is. I don't know. There
send
really
your
hasn't.
Letters and inquiries here. Will.
Unlike The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, the game aspect is, it doesn't have that same leading up to ness, you know?
Like, yeah.
People come and go at, like,
well, it is really weird how they throw in, you know, that Chelsea and Jacqueline both said this, like, the weirdness of being thrown in on, like, week five, where...
Yeah, you're kind of, like, third string at that point. Like, yeah. It's like when a sports team is ahead, so they just throw in Jacqueline, like, because you've already won the game. Like, I don't know.
Sports ball.
The analogies are real. The struggle is real.
Well, so let's talk about for a minute what's coming up for us.
We've got some
things happening in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Molly, what is your future looking like? Where are we taking this?
I'm moving to Detroit.
I knew this news already, but still makes me really sad.
Yeah, Seattle is a prohibitively expensive city. The struggle is real in Seattle, and my family basically talked me into it last time I was home. So, long story short, you don't need to know all the goddamn details of my life, but I'm moving to Detroit, and it's, I mean, Megan is my best friend, and, like, I don't know.
You're my best friend, too.
It's, but, I mean... That doesn't mean the end of the show. We're going to work it out. We'll figure out a way to do it remotely.
We're going
to
work it out. I think that mastering the technology is going to also open up even more windows for us to
bring in
interviews and guests and all these things.
Yeah, it's going to force us to do a little bit more work, which might improve the integrity and professionalism of the show.
Like, we can't just lay in my bed.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Get drunk. Like, we have to, like, instead.
We're just, right now, we just record on Megan's phone on top of a couple of books, and we talk into it. Now we're going to have to figure out, like, a way to have high-quality audio from a distance.
Yeah.
So, but a lot of people do that. A lot of podcasters do this. So, We can work it out.
And, so don't be afraid, guys.
I'm gonna bring a new Detroit edge to this shit, or Waterford, or my mom's bedroom in Waterford, Michigan, and then eventually, hopefully, move out. Detroit, let's be real.
Yeah, I think it's gonna up our game. Mm-hmm. We are going to.
If you're wondering about my relationship, Tim is staying here, which is, you know, it was amicable. You know, it's cool, but I'm gonna be single in Detroit.
And if you're worried about our friendship, we're still right here. It's emblazoned on each other's hearts.
Oh, I was going to say it's at a crisis point. After all that nice shit I said, I didn't mean it.
Oh, no.
This is like a bonus episode right now because it's the longest episode we've ever done.
I know.
But we had a lot of shit to get through, and we had a lot of digressions to explore.
Yeah, so. We had a lot to explore. About whether or not Molly thinks we're at a crisis point. I thought we were just growing together. Maybe she thinks it's amicable that we're parting.
It's like every time Ashley S. got broken up with on the show, which was more than once. We're like,
no,
she thinks everything's going fine, and then, like,
or it's like
you're Ashley S., and then I turn to you and I'm like, listen,
or like,
I don't know if I see
like
a future.
You're Claire and I'm Mikey T., and you're like, I'm leaving, and I'm like, I think things are better than ever.
It's like, no, you're not hearing me.
Anyway, get at us with your van letters.
Should we give them, like, an address to send them to?
Yeah. Well, my website is Megan Nicole Cruz, MeganNicoleKruse. .com, and my email address is the same at gmail.com.
And quite similarly, my URL is mollylaich.com, and my email is mollylaich@gmail.com. And obviously, you get
this show, if you're not getting it from iTunes, from doghatesfilm.com. Mm-hmm. And your Rumpus interview came out.
Oh, yeah. My Rumpus interview came out. Check that out. It's, I talk about how much I love Lucinda Williams. And what else? You have anything else going
on? No. No.
All right. We're still here.
Yay.
Hey.
Goodbye.
We'll see you. We'll be back to talk about the.
We have no choice but to only do 2 episodes next time because that's all that's left.
Yeah, so we'll be doing that, and I guess it might be our first episode from afar.
And honestly, it's that. Actually, now that I think about it, this is the first time I've thought of it, but it represents a natural hiatus for the show because there's no more content. So you actually, like, we're going to have 1 more episode and then you're not going to hear from us until The Bachelor starts.
I know. Which so that's sad.
But I am hoping to start Ben Meh. Yeah, I know. He's going to be great. I am hoping to start my spinoff podcast soon. Well, I don't know if it's a spinoff, but I'm going to start another podcast soon. So you won't see The Last of Us. Megan will be a regular contributor to it.
Molly, so. Talk more about the projects you have that don't involve me.
What did I just say?
I know.
What did I just say?
I'm just being silky and looking to be comforted.
In fact, I think that you would probably make a natural good first guest since we already know how to do this together. And, like, anybody else I invite on is going to, like, possibly be nervous or weird. So, like, you might be. No promises, but you'll probably be my first guest.
All right, that was a promise.
Okay. Yeah, like, you're probably going to hang out tomorrow night. Like, I heard that and my heart sunk because I, like... you're just so popular that I just, like, I really want you to come to my party tomorrow.
No, you haven't given me any details about your party tomorrow.
We should talk about this off air.
I know. All right.
Bye, everybody. We love you.
Love you. Bye.